Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program, Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. So this time last year, there were a lot of questions about Jalen Hurts. Was his performance in Super Bowl 57 just a one-time wonder, or was he going to be able to replicate that? Now we know after Sunday, not only did he come close to replicating that, he did better. So he ended up winning that Super Bowl and taking home the Super Bowl MVP. And then for Nick Sirianni going into this season, it was, man, guy's a player coach, but he's a doormat. They started off 10-1. He lost control of his locker room. He should not have been brought back, right? I said those things. I'll stand, you know, you got to admit when you're wrong, and I ended up being wrong. But even earlier in this season, like after that Falcons game, another moment as well, even in that one victory, I think it was up against Cleveland when he's drawing back and forth with the fans. People just didn't think this was going to be a successful season for the Eagles and Sirianni was going to be a problem. But Sirianni went into the season with his seat on fire, and now that seat is frigid cold. Hey, you know, he may as well be living in Alaska with how cold it is, because Nick Sirianni is now a Super Bowl champion, and so is Jalen Hurts. So let's do this. I want to go around the room here, and I want to discuss a coach and a quarterback that is under pressure going into this season. So let's start with the coach. I'm actually going to go Mike McDaniel. And you know what? Maybe I'll end up being wrong on this one. But Mike McDaniel, I've never been a huge fan of his as a head coach. Don't get me wrong. He's a player's coach. He's had some success in the NFL. He is very popular. But with Mike McDaniel, I always feel as if I don't get the joke. You know, everyone loves this dude. I hear him at the podium. And I know he could sound a little spacey, right? And he tries to be a little quirky and funny. I've never really laughed all that much at Mike McDaniel. The one time I did laugh about Mike McDaniel is when he did the one interview and then ran off the field right after that and just dashed right into the locker room. And Stu, by the way, dressed up as Mike McDaniel one year. I thought that was a great Halloween costume. But Mike McDaniel so far, he hasn't been bad. 9-8, 11-6, and 8-9. But you take a look back at 2023... He was someone that had Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator, and his players were too soft for the coaching of Vic Fangio. And I get it, right? Up against the Dolphins, up against the Bills, Vic Fangio didn't do a good job. But there's been a lot of changes in Miami. They have a lot of talent. I kind of look at them as they're the San Francisco 49ers light. They're trying to be the Niners, and McDaniel comes from the San Francisco 49ers and the Shanahan tree. But they got enough talent there where they should have a playoff win on their resume. And they don't. And I know that Tua hasn't always been healthy, but we've seen quarterbacks get hurt and then coaches be still competent. Coaches still find a way to get somewhat of a positive product out of their team. And you take a look back, it was 2 years ago, Kevin Stefanski lost to Sean Watson for the season, made Joe Flacco look elite again. And the Browns made the playoffs. We have seen quarterbacks go down and then those teams still be successful. The value of Tua went up this year because without Tua Tagovailoa on the field, and I was someone that went into this season saying Tyreek Hill, not Tua, is the Dolphins' most valuable player. I was wrong on that. Because without Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins looked absolutely lost this year, and this brainiac genius and this innovative offensive mind of Mike McDaniel had no answers. And that locker room has problems in it. I think Mike McDaniel needs to be more of an authoritative voice. But let's be real. Is Mike McDaniel capable of having an authoritative voice? I don't think so. And that's what happens when you're buddy-buddy with your players. But we did see this past year, Nick Sirianni, really the last two and a half months, kind of grow up as a head coach. And I think it's something that's lost on us. Because we expect instant results. We expect instant gratification. We expect instant results. When you're getting your first job as a head coach, there's going to be growing pains. And for Mike McDaniel, he's been successful, right? He's 28-23 as a head coach. 9-8, 11-6, 2 years in the postseason, and this year he just missed it, you know, being 8-9. So he is entitled for another season. I don't think they should have moved off of Mike McDaniel. And let's be real, I think the biggest problem in that organization is Chris Greer. You can't be being a GM in this league, and you can't say, oh, well, the fans and the media care more about the offensive line and write the concerns about the offensive line, and we do, and your offensive line is still not up to par. And then also you've made moves, and you brought in big-time players. And, yeah, Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill have been successful in Miami, but what have you won with them? And you have a core here that should be able to win a playoff game. And this was really the year where, through the first 2 years, I think with Mike McDaniel, I said, you know, I didn't really get the love affair with him. I didn't really get the joke. But when you're 9-8 and 11-6, and you make the playoffs in your first two seasons in the NFL, I can't really crush you. I can't really criticize you. Especially in that one playoff game when I think he was hitting a vape pen on the sideline in Buffalo. He didn't even have his quarterback. So through the first 2 years, I didn't really have a lot that I could criticize of Mike McDaniel. But there was just something about him that an alarm went off in my head. And just kind of told me, I just can't get there with McDaniel. Like, you know, sometimes you could be dating someone and you show up to the date, right? You think the person's beautiful. You have a great time. Maybe go back, have a little bam chicken wamp wamp time. You go out a few times and then just something happens. And, right, everything is right in front of you. You're like, oh, this is going to be a good relationship. You know, I could see us getting into to relationship, dating, maybe getting married one day. And then you go on one date and something just happens and you can't get that image out of your head. And you get what the kids call the ick. I've always just had the ick with Mike McDaniel, where there's just something about him where I'm like, I'm not ready to make the full commitment to Mike McDaniel. And now I have those questions this year. But you look at the Dolphins, you got a good quarterback. I know Tyreek Hill is crazy at times, but Tyreek Hill now seems like he's going to want to be there because he's issuing a mea culpa on Radio Row. You got Jalen Waddle. I know they're moving on for Raheem Mostert, but you got Devon Achane. Defensively, you do need some work, but you got some peace on the defensive side of the ball, and hopefully they could be healthy this year because they got killed at the end of last season, you know, 2 seasons ago, I should say, with injuries late in the year. But this is a Dolphins team. They should be a wild card team next year. Like, the Bills are the standard inside the AFC East. You know the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. The AFC North, I guess you give the benefit of the doubt to the Ravens, but it wouldn't shock me if the Ravens don't win the division, and the Texans probably win the South. So if that's the way that it goes for wild card teams, you're competing with the likes of the Steelers, the Bengals. You know, you're competing with the Chargers, the Broncos. Why can't the Dolphins be a wild card team? Why can't they be? And quite frankly, if they don't make the playoffs this year, and also I think you need to win a playoff game. But if you can't make the playoffs bare minimum, if I'm Stephen Ross, who's not getting any younger, how can I sit back here and say that I need to continue when this is a year where Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel should be on the hot seat? If they go 9-8 or 8-9 and they miss out on the playoffs again, why would I be able to bring this duo back? So for Mike McDaniel, I'm very curious how we're going to be talking about him at the end of next season. Stu, who is your coach, only your coach, that's on the hot seat entering the 2025 NFL season?
So I would go with another AFC coach that I thought, like Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins, I thought they were going to make the playoffs this year, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals and Zach Taylor.
It's a good one.
It's a big year for him. The fact that you've referenced it many times, especially at the start of the show today, having the leading passer, the leading receiver, and the leading sack getter in the league, and to not make the playoffs is ridiculous. So I think the one thing that might save him is
the Bengals are cheap.
If this was another organization, he might have been gone after this past season. So if they don't make the playoffs next year with that core, even though they probably will lose T. Higgins, but if they don't make the playoffs, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. So I think he's under a lot of pressure next season.
And I think he's under contract through 2026, is Zach Taylor. So if you want to talk about potentially moving on from Zach Taylor, he gets through 2025. It's only 1 year left on the contract. Either way, that's usually the time, unless if you're the Cowboys, where it turns out to be you either extend the coach or you move on from the coach, because coaches usually don't like to go in as the final year of their contract, because then you get the lame duck kind of feel to you. But you look at Marvin Lewis, and I get it. The Bengals, when Marvin Lewis took them over, were just a laughingstock. They were an embarrassment. They were charging players or made players return their old jock straps before they could get a new one. They would charge them for Gatorade and water. But Marvin Lewis never won a playoff game. He's a good coach. Never won a playoff game. And he made the playoffs 5 straight years. Didn't win a playoff game. 2 other times made the wild card. Didn't make the playoff games as well. Playoffs as well, and didn't win 1 game. He then got 3 years after that of missing the postseason before they moved on. And Zach Taylor in 2021 made the Super Bowl, lost in the Super Bowl. Then the following year, he lost in the conference championship game. The last 2 years, not horrible, but 9-8, 9-8, and they missed the playoffs. Yeah, if they miss the playoffs next year, you got to get rid of Zach Taylor. But also, I think if they make the playoffs too, to your point, then he's safe. But this is a team that for the foreseeable future, I know they just missed the playoffs last year, so it sounds crazy to say, but when you got Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and we'll see if Trey Hendrickson stays there, and what happens with this contract and everything moving forward, because he wanted out before the start of the season, and I think T. Higgins as good as gone, you got to go patch up that roster. And losing Jesse Bates, I've said this before, losing Jesse Bates I thought was an enormous loss for them. He's been good with the Falcons, and that defense lost some talent. And now you got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. You've already paid Joe Burrow. You're probably going to lose T. Higgins. I know that they've tinkered with the offensive line a bunch, and it still hasn't got the best results. But you got to go find a way to really load up on the defense this year. Now, we didn't talk about them for Myles Garrett as a potential destination. Now, I know it's inside the division, so it's probably not going to happen. But if a Max Crosby becomes available, can you go get him? But then once again, to your point, you got to give up picks and then pay the guy. So the Bengals, they're a team that they got to start getting back to the postseason, because now we're moving further and further away from those years of getting to a Super Bowl and then also getting to a conference championship game. You always have a window because of the quarterback, but the quarterback suffered some injuries. And you still got Ja'Marr Chase and you got Trey Henderson. You know what they have? They have the shiny car in the driveway, right? They got like the Lamborghini in the driveway. And from 3 blocks away, you go, oh, it's a nice Lamborghini. But then as you inch closer and closer and closer and closer, you go, all right, we still have a Lamborghini, but the window's bashed in. There are 2 tires that are flat and the engine light's on. So, yeah, you got a Lamborghini. All right, you got Burrow, you got Chase, you got Hendrickson, but you don't have the other pieces around them. And if that job becomes open, that would be an attractive job, even with the cheapness of that organization, because of those 3 pieces, mainly the 2 pieces. I love Hendrickson, but because you got one of, if not the best, 1-2 punch in football with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Samter, who is your coach that you think is under pressure going into next season?
I mean, under pressure and hot seat are 2 different things to me. Like Shanahan, I think, is under a ton of pressure. But I think for hot seat, I look at like Raheem Morris or Mike Tomlin. Those are the 2 guys that stand out most to me. There were so many expectations for the Falcons. If Raheem Morris falls short again.
I thought
you
were going to say Nancy Kerrigan again.
Yeah, Nancy Kerrigan, definitely. Brian Daboll's up there too, but I think if they draft a quarterback, they're going to give him some leeway. So I'm going to go with my number 1 is Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
We've talked about so much regular season success. And like you've said, no playoff wins since 2016. He's getting into Dallas Cowboys territory. Mike Tomlin, the Steelers hate to make coaching changes, but eventually he's got to win something.
So I would like to say that you're right, but I have no confidence in the Steelers even remotely thinking of moving on from Mike Tomlin. Like I said, he has 3 years left in his contract. Given the edict of go find their next franchise quarterback or go win a playoff game in the next 2 years, and everywhere you go with Mike Tomlin, who would get a job tomorrow if he got fired, it's just defend Mike Tomlin. So I think there's pressure in terms of the media, right? Pressure in terms of the fans. But internally in that building, I don't think Mike Tomlin is anywhere close to being let go. All right, let's do quarterbacks under the most pressure this year. I'm actually going to go Brock Purdy. And hear me out on why. You have a Super Bowl core there that is getting towards the end of their run, but the window is still open, and there's going to be some retooling even a little bit this offseason, then maybe some more retooling next offseason if you don't win the Super Bowl. Even if you do, then you know whenever you win a Super Bowl, right, guys have, like, let me go get the bag somewhere else. Let me get the most money. I got the ring, and then I'll throw up the deuces and peace out of town from the Bay Area. But Brock Purdy's going to get paid this offseason, and Brock Purdy's going to get paid a lot of money. I think we're looking anywhere between $52 and $60 million for Brock Purdy. And I think it's going to be closer to $60 million than it's going to be to $50 million. And we had Joe Montana on the show last week. And that's the most adamant and really most emotional I've heard Joe Montana in an interview, where he looked at me and he goes, the Niners have to pay Brock Purdy. And for all of his flaws, he's still a lot more accomplished, even in a bad year, than a lot of the other quarterbacks in the NFL that are making a lot more money than him. So they're going to pay Brock Purdy. And even though you pay Brock Purdy, he then has a leash in San Francisco because he's tied to the contract. But I think paying Brock Purdy an astronomical number puts even more eyeballs and more attention and more pressure on him. Pressure is very ambiguous, right? Pressure to win or pressure to lose a job. I think there's a lot of pressure for Brock Purdy to win. And this Niners group, they're starting to reach the end of the road. And then they're going to look different. So I look at this year with where that team is at, coming off the year that they just had, which was disappointing for them, and also the fact the quarterback is going to get pizzayed this offseason, I believe there's a lot of pressure under Brock Purdy next year. Stu, who's your quarterback?
So I'll go with the quarterback that was paid last offseason, and that's Trevor Lawrence. We've seen good from him. We've seen bad from him. Last season was pretty bad. Now that he has a new coach, Liam Cohen, kind of coming in. And it's also a division that, okay, the Texans are definitely the best team in that division.
It's not an impossible division to win.
It's not impossible to win, and it's also not impossible to compete for a wild card. We saw that a couple years ago from them. I just think after next year, we're going to kind of know what Trevor Lawrence is in this league. Either he's going to be the franchise quarterback that a lot of us thought he was when he came out of Clemson, or he's just going to be, like a Derek Carr type, a guy that's a starter but not a guy that can really lead your franchise.
Yeah, this is the last head coach that Trevor Lawrence gets in Jacksonville. If at the end of this experiment between Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, you're saying, oh, Liam Cohen's good, but he didn't get the quarterback play, then they're going to move on from Trevor and give Liam Cohen a new quarterback. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't play well this year, that could happen after this upcoming season, or maybe they'll both end up getting out of town together at the same time, depending on how many more years he's going to get. But this past year didn't go their way. Now you get a new coach in there. They gotta at least be a 9-win football team next year. If they're not a 9-win football team next year, I know they got some work to do, and Trevor doesn't play well with the new head coach in there, it's just, I can't make any more excuses then for Trevor Lawrence. Samter, who's your quarterback?
I got to go Lamar Jackson, sir.
Really? Okay, why?
I mean, he's got his two MVPs, almost won his third, and here he is. He cannot win the big playoff games. Like, at least Josh Allen, when they lose, he plays great, and they just still happen to lose.
Well, Lamar played great this year.
He did, but not really. He still had two picks in the game. He had four picks the entire season. He threw two picks in that game.
So even with the mistakes, though, he still at the end put the ball in Mark Andrews' hands. If Mark Andrews catches it, that game
is tied, with a chance to take the.
But still, it's tied. Like, I can't crush how I didn't crush James Franklin this year, and I love to crush James Franklin. But I didn't crush James Franklin after Penn State lost to Notre Dame. I can't crush Lamar after Lamar lost this game. Now, with that being said,
I'm not crushing Lamar.
I'm not saying you are. I'm talking about this. But what I'm saying is, for Lamar Jackson, yes, there's pressure to win a Super Bowl. Like, there are a handful of quarterbacks that are Super Bowl or bust for the foreseeable future in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, every year he plays Super Bowl or bust. Lamar Jackson, Super Bowl or bust. Josh Allen, Super Bowl or bust. Heck, I know they haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years in Joe Burrow, but with getting to the Super Bowl a few years ago, now they're Super Bowl or bust. And also, you know who's Super Bowl or bust too now? Not only they like we're crushing him next year if they don't win the Super Bowl, but Jalen Hurts. He's been to two, 1-1. Outplayed Mahomes in both of them. It's Super Bowl or bust. Like, I'm looking around the league. Is there another quarterback that's super? Brock Purdy is Super Bowl or bust. Jared Goff. So a little more than a handful is Super Bowl or bust. But outside of that, there's not that many other teams in the NFL where you look at them and go, oh, if they don't get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, then it's a horrible season. But yeah, no, there is pressure on Lamar Jackson. What differentiates, just wondering for you, Lamar to Josh? Is it just because Josh beats him in the postseason now twice?
That's part of it, but like I said, when Josh loses, he typically plays great.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar played well in this game, but okay, not to his standards, and historically he hasn't played great. So oftentimes they've lost because of him. Yes, Mark Andrews dropped that ball. Lamar Jackson had two interceptions of the game and didn't play great throughout the entire game. He didn't play up to the standard that he was playing throughout the rest of the season. To anyone else, maybe he was playing very well, but not to himself. And so I feel like he just kind of misses something in the playoffs that he has to prove that he can do it. So that's it.
No,
Josh Allen has to prove nothing. Josh Allen has done everything he has to do.
Josh Allen still got to prove that.
The
he
Bills have
to Super
prove
Bowl
something. The thing is, like, every
that
time
goes on the
lost,
quarterback, though. That goes in quarterback and coaches. Fair or not, that's what it goes on.
Sure, but have you looked at any of their losses to the Chiefs or whatever, or to the Bengals or whatever else it was, and been like, man,
no,
if only Josh Allen had
no
done this. So I don't think he has that much. Yes, he has to win, but I don't think he has that much to prove. It's a different thing, I think.
Yeah, but you know how it is. We dumb this down. Until you win it. Like, there are people that, even after this loss to the Chiefs this year, we're still crushing Josh Allen. Oh, he can't win the big game. Just can't do it. That's like, now he wasn't Peyton Manning throwing three interceptions or four interceptions, three to Ty Law and one to Rodney Harrison. But yeah, no, I also think, you know how tough it is to play a full 60-minute game of football where you're just dynamite? Like, even look at Mahomes. In the Super Bowls that Mahomes won, it's not as if he's been great. They were down 10 in the first one to the Niners with 7.5 to go. The second one against the Niners, they were down 10. You know, they were down 10 to the Eagles, and they made the plays in the second half. My just point with Lamar, where I just disagree with you, is, yeah, he stunk in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. This year, I thought he did good enough to win the game, and yes, was not perfect in the first half, was not good in the first half, right? Looked like AFC Championship game Lamar in the first half, but the second half, he did everything in his power to win the game, and Mark Andrews just got to catch the football. Anyway, who's a coach, who's a quarterback that's under the most pressure entering this season? My coach was Mike McDaniel. My quarterback was Brock Purdy. Stu, who's your coach again in quarterback, Stu?
Zach Taylor and Trevor Lawrence.
Zach Taylor and Trevor Lawrence, and Samter ends up going with Lamar Jackson, and your coach was Mike Tomlin. So that's some coaches and quarterbacks that we have under pressure going into this season. Kevin Durant is in the 30,000-point club. Does this make him a top 10 player ever? I'll give you my answer next.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. So, Stu, if I had to ask you how you view Kevin Durant's career, as now he becomes the eighth player in the history of the association to eclipse the 30,000-point mark, the others are Wilt Chamberlain, Dirk Nowitzki, the great Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then LeBron James. So Kevin Durant right now is eighth on the all-time scoring list. How would you view Kevin Durant as a NBA player?
I would say a great player, definitely an amazing player, but someone who just, I'm always wanting more. Like, I know he had the two finals MVPs, the two rings, all the scoring like you just mentioned, but there's always going to be that part of me that's like,
yeah, but
he could have been top five, like one of the all-time greats. He's a great player, but there could have been more.
I think Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers are viewed very similarly. Where we look at Kevin Durant, we go top 20 player of all time. You look at Aaron Rodgers and you say top 15, top 10 quarterback of all time. You know, I know it's very easy to make the Basketball Hall of Fame, but the moment he's eligible, Kevin Durant is in, no conversation. The moment Aaron Rodgers is eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, in without hesitation. However, even with all their greatness, they both will leave us wanting more. And for Aaron Rodgers, like, look at all the MVPs, but how early in his career he won a Super Bowl. He never won another one, didn't even get back to another championship game, another Super Bowl game, I should say. When we look at Kevin Durant, it's, yes, couldn't get the job done in OKC, goes to Golden State. I didn't even mind him going to Golden State, but he failed to embrace the villain role, even when he won two championships, two finals MVPs, because of how sensitive he is and how he reads everything that is written about him or everything that's tweeted about him. He's like, I got to go on my own and go win a championship on my own. And in Brooklyn, it did not work out. Heck, the most we've ever praised Durant in his career, probably, he got praised more for losing to the Bucks when everyone was hurt than winning those two championships that he won in Golden State. But ultimately, he was the guy calling the shots in Brooklyn, and he enabled Kyrie Irving for too long, and the entire thing blew up in his face. And now clearly he's at the end of the road in Phoenix. He almost got traded at the deadline. And now he's still with the Suns. And here's a hot take. The Suns aren't winning a championship. I think what Barkley said was spot on of Durant. He's a bus rider, not a bus driver. And that sticks with him. So Aaron Rodgers could be a top 15, top 10 quarterback of all time. Kevin Durant could be a top 20, top 15 basketball player of all time. And those are incredible accomplishments. They have both, Durant and Rodgers, achieved unimaginable success. But it's still even crazy how they're both considered all-time greats. There are different fraternities and there are different sectors in the all-time great club. And even though they're both viewed as immortals, they're not viewed the same way for quarterbacks, right, as Aaron Rodgers, as Tom Brady, or even Patrick Mahomes or Joe Montana are viewed. You know, for Kevin Durant, he won't be viewed the same way we view Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson, just to name a few, rather than a few off the top of my head. So there are differences with them, and they're both great, yeah, but you wanted to see a little bit more out of him. So where do you put Durant in NBA history? He's not top 10. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kareem, Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Wilt, Larry Bird, Timmy Duncan, Kobe, Shaquille O'Neal. Just for starters right there, those are 10 players. You can't tell me you'd rather have Kevin Durant than those 10 players. MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Russell, Magic, Wilt, Larry, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq. Also, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I'd rather have his career than Kevin Durant's career. And I get it, when Kevin Durant was there, he won two championships and also won two finals MVPs over Steph. But Steph is the greatest three-point shooter we've ever seen. Some other names that you could debate. The Big O, Oscar Robertson. Hakeem Olajuwon. And you know what? I'm just looking at this list. LeBron James. These are the guys that have more points than Kevin Durant right now. Eight players in the history of the league. Durant's one of them. At least 30,000 points. Kevin Durant is behind on this list. Wilt, Dirk, MJ, Kobe, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and LeBron James. I'd rather have the career of Dirk Nowitzki over Kevin Durant. Just because I think Dirk, who's won an MVP just like Kevin Durant, but Dirk's championship will be remembered more fondly than the two championships that KD won. Fair or not, it's crazy because how many times do people say, KD needs to go win a ring on his own. Gotta go win a ring on his own. If he just embraced being a villain, gave the middle finger, and kept on winning championship at Golden State, you could only hate something for so long before you just gotta respect it. And I think him leaving and not being able to win on his own even added more fuel to the fire of people that kind of looked at Durant's championships in a cheap way. And I think the Karl Malone-Durant conversation is fascinating. Because you look at Karl Malone, right? Durant's, at his position, is not viewed as a top two player at his position. At Karl Malone's position, he's either viewed as the first or the second best power forward of all time. And he won two league MVPs. Now, Malone doesn't have a championship. And that's why in probably a lot of these lists, Durant will be put ahead of Karl Malone. But it's just something to think about as well. So I think Durant, the highest you could probably go with him is probably like 12, 13. He's in that range of like 12 to 16. Because MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Wilt, Larry Bird, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq, and Steph. Those 11 have to be in front of Kevin Durant. And after that, there's some guys that could push him back even a few spots than that. But I think the highest you could go on Durant is 12. And probably the lowest you could go is 16 or 17. And it's probably he's probably like 14 or 15, I would say. And that's still incredible, right? You're 15 best player of all time. But it's wild how someone could be that great. And there's still going to be an incomplete feeling when you look back and you try to revere the career of one Kevin Durant. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back with some Questions, we'll give you some answers. We do the segment every Monday and Friday. We call it Onside Offside. Update time. Here's Zach. All righty, Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network, Onside Offside time. Stuart Kovacs, what do you got for me today, pal?
All right, Zach, so we got to catch up with Giants defensive star Kayvon Thibodeau on
the Cowboys!
That's right, on Radio Row, along with Bobby Okereke. Now, while in New Orleans, Thibodeau, the former fifth overall pick, spoke with NJ.com about the Giants potentially picking up his fifth-year option, saying, quote, "I was a high draft pick. If they don't pick it up, I have the option to go to the market. Regardless of what they do contract-wise, I've got something to prove to myself," end of quote. So onside, offsides, Thibodeau has been a disappointment thus far in the NFL.
So I got EJ and Perloff into the DraftKings party at the Super Bowl weekend. We were at the Lee Steinberg party, and then our friend of show, Josh Booty, was there. Josh Booty then took me to some like mansion where there was 100 people there, and Faith Carter played, who's like a 24-year-old country singer. So it was a really cool event. But Josh goes, "Hey, if you want to get any of your guys into the DraftKings party, I have an in there tonight. Just get me their emails and their names and everything." So I got their email and names and everything. Perloff and EJ threw them on the list. And I actually didn't make it to the party. It was also with Clutch Sports, too. I didn't make it to the party because Saturday we spent all day drinking. Then I went to the mansion party, drank more there. Then went out for dinner, had a 9:15 dinner reservation. And by the time I was done with that, I was out of the hotel I was staying in from 10 a.m. to like 11 p.m. Because in the morning I took a walk, got like some beignets, sat down. There was like some there was some sort of parade that was going on too, Super Bowl parade. So I didn't end up going to that party, but I saw EJ the next day. And EJ goes to me, "I went to the party. It was cool." And right, sometimes these Super Bowl parties, if you don't have exclusive access, they stink. But then there's sometimes it's like just a free-for-all where they give a certain amount of people in and it's like access anywhere for everyone. That was just one of these parties that you just had to be on the list. So I guess EJ saw Kayvon Thibodeau and EJ wanted to have a little conversation with Kayvon Thibodeau. And from my understanding, what a source told me is that EJ went to be like, "Hey, Kayvon, nice to meet you." And Kayvon just walked right past him. Didn't even say a word to EJ Stewart. So Kayvon Thibodeau big time EJ Stewart, but he didn't big time the Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. He was actually very funny when we talked to him. He was fascinated by my love for blue cheese. And he also warned me not to eat the wings that they brought on set, but I had the wings and they were absolutely delicious. So Kayvon Thibodeau, he was an interesting guy. By the way, did you know Maggie got sick at the Super Bowl?
I heard about this, yes.
So she missed the show Friday because she got sick. I texted Maggie, and I'll answer your question in a second. But I saw a video that the Barstool guys, Jason Kelce said on the New Heights podcast, and Stu probably knows this because he's a Swiftie, that all the Barstool guys got sick on the oysters that were in New Orleans. I guess there was a recall on some of the oysters. Now, I had a ton of oysters when I was in New Orleans. I didn't get sick at all, so I texted Maggie, "Is this what did you in? The oysters." Maybe she had some bad oysters. So she goes, "In some ways, probably would have been easier." So I still have no clue what happened to Maggie. Supposedly she's doing better. She hosted the show this entire week. But for Maggie to miss a show on Friday before the Super Bowl, knowing the work ethic of the great Maggie Gray, she really had to be down and out for the count. 1, 2, 3. And it was dunzo season for Maggie Gray. I think I just broke the headphone system here by slamming the desk. Oh, there we go. We're back. All right, we're back. So anyway, that all brought up from the Kayvon Thibodeau conversation. So Thibodeau has been a disappointment so far. Yeah. Top 10 draft pick was supposed to be a dominant pass rusher in this league. And through the first 3 years of his career, he only has 21 sacks. 2022, 14 games played, 4 sacks. 2023, his best season, 17 games played, 11.5 sacks. And then this year, was having a good season and is out for the year, but had 12 games played, 5.5 sacks. So he's been fine, But we were told that Kayvon Thibodeaux was going to be a great or generational pass rusher, and he hasn't been that. So, yeah, it's been disappointing so far on sides. And also, a big-time EJ.
Yeah.
So that's disappointing
even
as
worse.
Well.
Now, Hendon Hooker, he was a star at Tennessee before suffering a devastating injury right before the draft. Now, after sitting behind Jared Goff in Detroit for 2 years, it's pretty clear that he won't get a shot with the Lions. Now, yesterday, Rodney Harrison joined PFT Live and suggested that the Jets make a trade for Hooker despite having former FSU quarterback Jordan Travis on the roster as well. Onsides, offsides, you believe Hooker and Travis could still be starters in the NFL?
They could start here and there. Do I think either are going to be full-time starters? No, I don't. And I like both those guys in college, and then both got hurt. And then it just completely tanked both their draft stocks. So you believe Hooker and Travis could still be full-time starters in the NFL? I'm going to go offside on that.
New Saints head coach Kellen Moore was introduced to the media yesterday, and among many topics, he discussed quarterback Derek Carr. While Moore praised Carr, he was also non-committal about whether he will be their quarterback in 2025. Now, Carr has 2 more years left on his deal, but the dead cap goes from $50 million this year to $28 million in 2026. So, onside, offsides, Derek Carr will be the Saints' starting quarterback in 2025.
I think so, and I think for one final season. I've been struggling with this one, Stu. Because I think some days, oh, Derek Carr is gone, he's done with the Saints, and then other days I think he's going to be back. When we had Cam Jordan on the show, I couldn't really get a read on it, and he's playing for the Saints, obviously, a longtime Saint. What does your gut tell you when it comes to Derek Carr? Because I will flip-flop on this one until we get a decision here.
I think because the number's so high, he'll be there 1 more year.
Yeah, and what else are you doing? You know, if there was an option, like they're not signing Sam Darnold, right? You know, do you want Russell Wilson? Do you want
Kenny Pickett?
Oh, jeez. All right, Chris in California. Like, there's not a great option out there, and they're probably not getting a quarterback in the draft, so I do think it would behoove them, even though it's not something you would love to do, because of what the dead cap is, just you run him back out there for 1 more year, and then a year from now, that's when you move on from Derek Carr when he has 1 year left on the contract. So Derek Carr will be the Saints starter in 2025. Begrudgingly, I will go on sides.
All right, Tyreek Hill made some waves after his emotional comments after the season, but it seemed to walk them back and even apologize to the Dolphins. Now, however, Hill and U.S. Olympic sprinter Noah Lyles announced that they will finally race each other this summer ahead of after years of trash talk. So onsides, offsides, you're okay with Hill racing Lyles before the season begins?
Yeah, I am, because I'm not one of these people going to be like, oh, what happens if he gets injured? Yeah, if he does, that sucks. It's horrible. But am I going to care about this race? I'll probably watch it whenever it surfaces on the internet. But if they do some like live event where they're streaming it, am I going to tune in? Absolutely not. I'll just catch the Spark Notes version afterwards. So you're okay with Hill racing Lyles before the season begins? Sure. Onsides.
Now, the Yankees have a North American sports record 27 titles, but they also have an odd no facial hair except a mustache rule. And that's ever since George Steinbrenner brought the team in the 70s. Now, this week,
Tradition.
This week, new offseason acquisition Devin Williams reignited a controversy when arriving at spring training with a full beard, but was clean shaven yesterday. And in response, former Yankee Jabba Chamberlain admitted that he knows players who wanted to join the team but didn't because they didn't want to shave. So onsides, offsides, the Yankees should do away with facial hair rule this year.
Yeah, what is this, 1973? Does it matter? You know what? Guys, I'm going to have a no facial hair policy on this show. Stu?
Oh, no.
Cut the beard. Yikes. Samter, cut the beard. Imagine if we did that.
That would be problematic.
I think it's stupid. All right, back in the day, fine. But like now, what's the purpose of this? So the Yankees should do away with the facial hair rule? Absolutely, they should, on sides. But Stu, I want to trim get back in the studio Monday. Tell Angie you got to trim the beard tonight. More beard.
Ironically, I do have a haircut tomorrow, so I believe it will be trimmed on Monday.
Samter, by the way, not that you look old, but when you shave your beard that one time you did and you came in clean shaven, you look 10 years younger. You look like you were like 26. Are we getting a shave suit? Yeah, right. You shaved it when your daughter was born, right?
Yeah, I shave it every now and again. In the winter when it's really cold out, like it has been over the past like month and a half, mm-hmm. you know, the beard serves as like a natural insulation.
It's always a sneak attack with
you.
Yeah,
once it warms up, it's gone.
It's really a sneak attack. Like one day you're just going to walk in and we're going to be like, who the heck is this new producer around here on the Infinity Sports Network?
I'm very sure. People don't see me anyway.
No, we all see you. You have a big presence when you walk into a room.
I am loud.
There's no doubt about that. All righty, last one. What do we got?
All right, Shohei Ohtani is a champion and the reigning NL MVP, and the Dodgers got some good news as the league officially designated him as a two-way player for 2025. Ohtani, whose career high is 166 innings pitched, had his second Tommy John surgery in September of 2023 after pitching 132 innings that year, and he is expected to get back on the mound this season. So onside to offsides, the Dodgers should keep Ohtani under 100 innings this season.
Yeah, I think so, because the next arm injury that he has, I think that's it for the Shohei Ohtani pitching experiment. And he's an elite pitcher when he's able to do so on the mound, and we know what he is at the dish. But eventually they're just going to say become a full-time hitter. Or you know what could happen? I know it's a different kind of philosophy, but we've seen, right, John Smoltz before, starter, closer. I'm not saying that you make him your closer, but maybe you just have him coming out of the pen. Now, it's a different mentality, and it's a different mindset, but I wonder if that's something the Dodgers would consider down the road. They're going to try the starting experiment once again, but I would limit his innings. Because if you could get him in the postseason, at the dish, on the mound, that's when it's really worth it. But also, the Dodgers' rotation is now so deep, you could find a way with how many horses you got in that rotation to be very careful and very meticulous with the way that you manage Shohei Ohtani. So the Dodgers should keep. I'm not usually an inning limit guy. That's a tongue twister. Say that 10 times fast. I'm not usually an inning limit guy. But with that being said, I think everything's different for Shohei Ohtani. So the Dodgers should keep Ohtani under 100 innings this season. Absolutely. I will go on sides. First 2 hours in the books on this Friday. Man, this show is flying by. When we come on back, yesterday, we played you audio from CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee Lamb admitted that the Eagles fan base is more passionate than the Cowboys fan base. So when we come on back, Stu and I are going to do a little draft here. We're going to just pick the 10 most passionate fan bases in the NFL, and we'll just go 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 until we get to 10. So it won't even be a snake, Stu. But I just want to see how we order, and me giving a pick, then you giving a pick, the top 10 most passionate fan bases in the National Football League. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. You can always give us a call, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. You can always follow me, Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.